This episode is brought to you by Stay Roasted, the ultimate fresh roasted coffee subscription. Get your first bag of coffee for free. You only pay shipping when you visit stayroasted.com/stream. That's stayroasted.com/stream. Today on TMS, we have arrived.
Fantastic beasts, and I don't mind them.
The burrito is huge.
Burn the dollar store.
Blind doctors.
78-year-old moon.
Gross. Mary spoilers. Major spoilers and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream. Come over here, Mr. Pokemon Man, and let me get a peek at you.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. It's TMS for, 21st of November, Thanksgiving week here in these States United. It's 2016. Welcome back, everybody. Hope you had a great weekend. Brian Ibbett and I are just sitting right here. What's going on, Brian?
Right here. Yeah, hi. Oh, hi.
Hi.
So that's what that ringing from Skype was. It was you the whole time.
It was me. I was in the house the whole time. What's going on? How was your weekend? Good? Everything good?
It was good. Yeah, it was a good, it was a good relaxing weekend after a couple weekends of feeling like we had a whole bunch of stuff we needed to do and run here and run there.
Yeah. Yeah, you went right from BlizzCon to then a whole bunch of like big thick couple of weekends in a row.
Right. And then we did have the same sex Mary folks, James and Svet and Roger and Brian out here. They were staying downtown, so they weren't staying here in the Coverville capsule. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the Coverville house is called, but which is good because we've already got house guests. We've already got one of Tristan's friends living here. Temporarily, I hope. Uh-huh. And mm-hmm. So we didn't need that extra, extra level of stress.
Mm. Yeah, that'll add a little layer on your cake you weren't planning
especially since Thursday, the whole fam damily is coming here for Thanksgiving. We don't get to escape to another person's house and dirty it up. No, we're having everybody over here to dirty it up locally.
So we had the first of our two Thanksgivings last night because my sister Misha... And she's my Korean sister with a Russian name. Her and her family are leaving town. So is my mom. And because of that, we thought, well, we need to have that side of the family get together for Thanksgiving. So we did the whole turkey schmurky thing at their house last night. If you don't follow me on Instagram, you should, because there's a video of my brother Matt trying to do the pen and the apple thing, that weird Asian deal.
Really?
Yeah. So if you want to
I've got to see that now.
If you want to see my crazy Korean brother do a version of that, you need to follow me on Instagram. Anyway, so that was a lot of fun, and that's why I wasn't raiding last night. I was there late doing that, and that was fun. It was good, you know, good family times. We missed Wendy, but for the most part, everybody else was there. We had a good time.
We didn't raid last night anyway.
I didn't know that.
Tets was out, so we did Mythics and started attunement to. Karazhan for people who needed that.
Don't have it yet. Sure. That's a good idea right there. Yeah. Is what that is.
Yeah.
Split up into groups of five and go do your thing.
Righto.
Well, I missed all that. I'm sad that I did, but it was fun and I recommend it. Like just good times with your family. It's a time of year to do that. A lot of weirdness in the world, and it's a good place to sort of escape from that. That is if nobody is getting political at these things, and nobody did at this one. It's the one Thursday I'm worried about. This upcoming one is going to be the rough one because that's Kim's side of the family, and there are a couple of voices in that side of the family that are going to want to bring it up, and I don't even want to bring it up. I just want to say, oh my gosh, it's good to see you guys, and your kids are doing great.
Yes.
Look at this beautiful turkey, and we got the stuffing and the whatnot. It's just a great time, and hey, yo, whatever, we came and we stole the land from the Indians. Thanks a lot, Indians. Well done, pilgrims, right? Like, that's what I want to do, but I know what's going to happen. I just know it, and I'm dreading it. So I'll let everybody know the following week how that went. That's not what I'll let you know. I'll let you know whenever Brian and I do a little extra TMS specialness on Friday.
Yes, yes, can't wait for that.
We got to figure that slot out, but yes. Have we figured out the time?
No, we haven't. We figured out a film sack time, but not a time for TMS.
We're going to
talk
that
offline. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Don't worry, people.
That's a favorite thing of mine. And
We'll bring you the good news soon. Maybe the next day or so.
Yes. All right. Your best bet is just to watch the whole 24 hours and then you don't miss a whole thing.
Exactly. So what else? Oh, I know.
Yeah.
It's a quick business here.
Yeah. Let's talk movies, man.
Let's talk about movies for a second. Oh, before I do that, real quick, I'll get this out of the way. So today was supposed to be when Nerdtacular 2016 or 2017 or NX or N10 or whatever we're calling it, the 10th anniversary of Nerdtacular. The tickets were supposed to go on sale today. We have delayed that one Earth Day. It is for technical reasons, nothing else. So we'll have those worked out today with our Eventbrite thing, and we'll have all that ready to go tomorrow now. So Tuesday is the day. Sorry to get everybody's hopes up that it was absolutely for sure this morning, but it's not. It's tomorrow morning now.
So you're saying I can quit hovering my finger over the F5 button?
Yeah, quit hitting F5. Okay. Which in the Mac's case, I guess it's still F5 on your Mac.
It's still F5.
Okay. So that's still a thing. It's happening. It didn't happen for any bad reason. Oh, and another piece of business. There was no PM edition on Thursday. And the reason there wasn't one is my ISP took a giant flaming dump and acted like it wasn't them for like a day.
Right. No kidding. And then, we're fine here. And then, you're not doing anything on your network and it comes back on.
Yeah,
all signs point to you guys.
Yeah, I changed nothing. It snowed that day is the only thing I can think of. Something got weird with snow, maybe. I don't know. First snow of the season. I have no idea. But they were like, no, it doesn't seem to be. Need to cycle all your routers, unplug any machines, try all these things. Which I did all that and still the problem. And then suddenly it went away. And I texted Brian. I said, well, I guess it's all okay now. You're like you're weirdly like a therapist or something. Because when I tell Brian that, it calms me down. It's like, everything's fine now. And you're like, oh, good. That sounds good. At least you'll be okay for tomorrow. And I was like,
I try to be, I try to be the calming. I try to be the, the Zen for everybody. The namaste.
Yeah. You're the cool
namaste
breeze.
Right over here.
Mm-hmm. Namaste. Yeah. Namaste right over here. You all go ahead.
That's all right. So it worked out. We did a live stream. So the same-sex Mary set up in the basement. Weren't even sure it was going to happen. That's why I didn't tell you earlier. Mm. But
I felt bad about
it. Oh, no, you shouldn't at all. Mm. We had, the drums and Svet's keyboard. So last time it was just James and Svet, right? And it was like her keyboard and James's. Oh, no, we had a single drum, I think, last time we did this for TMS. Mm. And we showed Mad Max in the background. But we had the full band, all four of them, in the basement here with the studio. The more that we do this with Same Sex Mary, the more it makes me want to just set up a damn stage down here,
Yeah.
Because it's, I would love to have Studio Coverville and just get bands doing like a little indie thing, whenever they can, a little acoustic set or something.
Sure.
But we live streamed it on the Coverville feed. I think it's still there over on twitch.com/shows/Coverville or however that works. Just search for Coverville on Twitch. Yeah. But
Twitch.tv/Coverville it should be.
Is it okay?
I think so. If you did it on Twitch, yeah, it should be there. And you should be able to see the VOD, and it should all be there because the music shouldn't get flagged. So you should be okay.
I would assume not. Yeah. So we're going to isolate, or I'm going to isolate out the tracks that they performed because I recorded the whole thing too. And hopefully we'll get it on TMS here in the next couple weeks.
Wow, fantastic. I think that's great. Yeah. No, I was when I let you know, you sent me a photo of them all setting up, and I was like, oh, damn it. They're all sitting there, and we could do the live stream with the music and the what. And we've done this before with them, so it was going to be fun.
That's all right.
Movie weekend. Here's what I saw.
Yeah.
I saw Arrival, not The Arrival. It's just Arrival.
Oh, Randy took me to Brian. It's not The Arrival.
It's Porsche. Chorizo. Machete. it was a deal there. Okay, there you go. That's Randy.
Yeah.
That's a movie I really, really freaking liked.
Yeah.
I don't know that I could in fact, I'm just gonna say it now. It is, everyone always wants to know what's Scott's big movie of the year. 2015 it was Mad Max Fury Road, far and away, without any question for me.
Right. I don't think anybody
there was never any question about that.
Right.
This year it's Arrival. It's the best thing I've seen.
It's so good.
Yeah, there may be something else to come out during Oscar season that may blow me away, but this just touched on so many things I like about good, smart science fiction and how humanity reacts to such things. And it's incredibly acted and just a piece of work, man. People should see Arrival. Go see Arrival. It's awesome.
And see Arrival before you hear anything about it. The only thing I want to say about it, and there's, you know, there's no way I'm ever going to spoil anything for anybody in this movie, but it succeeded where Interstellar failed.
Yeah. And let's say that those two movies aim for some of the same heady stuff.
You know, it's not like an Avatar where it's like, all right, we're going to introduce ourselves to some aliens and whoa, we're going to walk around and try and sit under the love tree and make the fireflies dance or whatever it was. It's
right. I think that way. I think you, hey, get up, Brian, get over to IMDb and get that description under Avatar fast, because I think yours nailed it.
Sit under the love tree.
Sit under the love tree and make the fireflies go. But no, yeah, you're right. It's like Interstellar aimed to be this existential kind of brain twister, and it did okay. I liked it, but it didn't quite nail it. Didn't quite nail the landing. This nails every freaking moment.
Yeah,
in every possible
way. Jeremy Renner's awesome in it. Amy Adams is awesome in it. Forrest Whitaker is awesome in it.
Yeah, it's great. Just, I feel bad for his left eye. What's going on with that thing? Is it just...
it's always been the case.
It's just like a sleepy eye kind of thing?
It took a bad hit when that rival school took on Ridgemont High in the homecoming game.
Is that what it was?
Okay. I don't know. I don't know what...
it haunts him to this day.
Haunts him to this day.
It's really good. It's really good.
Awesome set of tools. He could totally fix this.
This is worth it, everyone. Now, tomorrow, I'm going to the $5 Tuesdays movie theater and watching the Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. And you saw this...
Yes.
With the Spagnolos. And I'm very curious. I hope this is good. Is it, do you feel like it lives up to the Harry Potter legacy? Does it do more than that? Like, what's this?
I think it does more than that. So the Harry Potter films, I really, really enjoyed the Harry Potter films. And as we were walking out, and Nicole made mention of this, as we were walking out of the theater, one of the people in there said, I think I enjoyed this more than the Harry Potter movies. And Nicole said, you know, and we were talking afterwards, and she says, you know, I kind of did too, just because it felt like such a nicely compact story all in one, as opposed to a tune in next time to find out if Ron Weasley loses his virginity or whatever, right? And like there's no hanging on with Voldemort and trying to figure out what's going on there. It is a nice self-contained story. They could easily turn this into a franchise, and there is some stuff that happens near the end of the film that makes you think, oh, okay, well,
I guarantee they are.
Yeah, they wouldn't introduce.
It would have to completely flop at the box office for it not to be a new bunch of sequels. There's no way. Of course they will. They absolutely freaking will. How's Eddie Redmayne with that weird face of his?
It's still a weird face, but it fits perfectly with this movie.
I like his face. It's weird. He has a weird face, and I like it. He should keep
that
face.
And I hear people, you know, in the whole movie, and it's funny because Randy and I talked about this pre-film sec as well, whether, you know, there's people in the movie who call him Scamander, and there's other people in the movie who call him Scamander, and it's like, I don't know how you pronounce the damn name.
But Sky Commander. There you go.
Newt Sky Commander.
There you go. Newt Sky Commander. Captain, Sky Captain in the world of tomorrow. Exactly.
And his face is like an Adidas sneaker.
It's really weird. It's a weird face.
It's compelling. It's a very compelling face.
Totally is. I completely agree. Yeah. There's like something draws you to that face, even though I should be repelled by it, but I'm not. In fact, I'm kind of attracted to it, if I'm being honest on the show. Well, good. Well, I'm seeing it Tuesday. I can't wait.
I can't wait to hear what you think of it.
Yeah, I think I would like to see these Fantastic Beasts, and I would like to know where to find them.
Sure. So, well, who wouldn't, right?
Right. That's my
thinking. It's too bad we're done with great movies for the year. I mean, there's nothing coming out over the next, you know, month and 8 days or 9 days, whatever's left.
There's nothing. Like, no big, huge release of any kind or anything.
Nothing.
Speaking
Can
of
I
which,
say, by the way, how sick I am of seeing that dang Will Smith preview?
Oh, I've only seen it
collateral
once.
Collateral Beauty?
I've only seen it one time, last night, in fact. Okay. It was the first time I'd seen it. And I don't know why that's the only time, because you're not the first person to say you're sick of seeing that preview. Like, that thing is like a big piece of Oscar bait on a giant hook
it
in the ocean.
It totally is, right?
Yeah, it kind of bugs me just slightly, but I only saw it the one time and I'm already bugged. So right. I'm sure it's fine.
All you need is a somebody playing a founding father president.
Yep.
And a woman stuck out in space, and yep. they'll have every single
they'll cover all their movie. Modern all their modern Oscar spaces will be covered. Oh, we played bingo again last night. By the way, if you follow me on Instagram, quit asking me why there are plates of candy corn everywhere in the video. It's because those were our bingo spaces. We didn't have bingo chip things, so we used candy, and there are a bunch of little candy corns from Halloween that got left over. That's why they're there. We weren't having a Thanksgiving dinner full of candy corn. Some have suggested. It was
That'd be great though, right? Yeah. Just surprise your family, like bring out you just bring out like a little crock pot full of candy corn and then give them a ladle and say, okay, I think we've got everything set here.
I know, it's so weird. Ah, the traditional plate of candy corn.
Right.
Just like the old pioneers did. So here's the other thing that was funny about that. We played bingo, and the bingo cards were Thanksgiving bingo cards. So they had like a turkey and a pie and a hay bale and all these fall references.
Sure.
For some reason, there's a dead tree in one of the spaces. Everything else is fine.
Like a log?
No, like a skinny tree with the roots showing and everything, as if it had been pulled out of the ground with no leaves on it, just like a dead, tree somebody pulled up. How is that Thanksgiving? I guess fall with no leaves, but it's just like...
Well, why would you show the roots then?
I don't know. The whole thing still confuses me.
Yeah, also, that is weird. So what do you? How do you get space? How do you claim a space then? Thanksgiving bingo. Do you turn on the TV and when one of these things appears, you...
No, Kim has... So Kim has a list and she'll go, Native American girl. And then you put a space. If you have the Native American girl on your card, you put a thing there. So it's like she's pulling random out of a bingo machine. So she'll go, dead tree. And you put a piece on dead tree.
Okay, gotcha.
And it was like that.
All right, it's still randomized like that, but okay. Yeah,
it was fun. We had a good time. Again, second time I've ever played bingo in my life. So I don't know why that is, but we had a good time. Everything's good.
I swear to God, we need to go. We've got to go to an actual bingo hall at some point.
I want old people.
And give you the full-on dauber crazy people experience.
Yeah, when old people with like yellow daubers and...
Yeah, it's...
Guy up front trying to be funny.
Oh, right.
I need that.
B9. Oh, it's not... Malignant, it's B9.
I get it, B9. Are there jokes for a lot of that stuff? Like,
yes,
C3.
It's usually
C4.
It's usually B's, I think. Are there any? Let's see. ING. Oh, yeah. I think it's usually the B's is where you get the jokes because you can't go. Well, you're not going to get one for 069.
No, you're not. But you can say B4. Get it before it's gone.
Exactly.
That's annoying as hell. All right. Well, anyway, there's our weekend. I hope you guys had a good one, too. And Thanksgiving's this week. We're pretty stoked. Oh, as a matter of business, there is no show Thursday because it's Thanksgiving Day. But Brian and I will be doing something Friday. We don't know when yet. We'll let
Correct.
You know.
Yes. Coverthon starts at 10 a.m. on Friday, raising money for Alzheimer's research.
Yes. Yes. And for the cost of Brian's horrific yearly payment to
CSAC, BMI, and ASCAP. Yep.
Yeah. Which is, you got to do it. You have to do it.
Correct.
All right. What are we doing now? I know. Oh, I didn't do the phone test. Gosh, dang it. All right. Well, here's how this is going to work. Somebody's going to call us. I'm going to hang up on Brian. We're going to call him back and all that stuff. 801-895-4724 is the number. If you would like to participate in today's Stump Daryl and win a prize, you could be the big wiener. Right here on the show. Let's see if I'll take this call. Brian, this may hang up on you. If it does, I'll call you right back. Oh, of course it did. Let's take this call here. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hey, this is Jamie.
Well, hello. Jamie?
Jamie.
Oh, Jamie. Jamie, hi. How are you?
Doing all right.
Well, you sound good. You sound like you're having a great day. I hope that's true because it's about to get greater potentially because you could win right here on the morning stream. All right, Brian.
Who do we got? Who do we have?
It's Jamie. Jamie on the line, Brian. Jamie.
Hey.
Yeah.
I sent the t-shirts.
Oh, she's the t-shirt
Jamie
lady.
From Wright Printing.
Yeah.
Versailles, Missouri.
Versailles.
Versailles, that's right. Yes, it's like...
we're not classy like that.
You're responsible for... I'm showing the chat. I got this stack from this pad she sent us. Just kind of threw it in there. And I doodle on these every freaking day. There's Brian's. I'll do one today. That's awesome. We really like your shirts too, by the way.
They're super, super.
Yeah, they fit me really well, which is a rarity. I don't find a lot of shirts. We're not going to give away a shirt today for the prize. Yeah, don't give her a shirt. Should be something else, Brian, just so you know. I don't think
I kind of feel bad today about the prize.
No, today's all right. Today's all right. All right, well, let's get to this. We got Daryl coming up. We'll play the little theme song, and off we'll go into the wild unknown.
Yeehaw! I'm feeling good today, and I can't even identify why.
All right, it's our favorite way to give people stuff. It's Stump Daryl time with Daryl Skeels. Hi, Daryl.
Hello.
What's going on, man? How are you?
Oh, I'm good.
Yeah, yeah. I got a big box from you. Got a box of stuff from Daryl that we're going to have for future prizes. Yeah, sitting right over there. I haven't even opened it yet. I'm afraid if I open it, I'll get some kind of weird interstate thing.
You'll get the Seattle little green smoke coming out of there.
Yeah, a little bit of the, you know, a little bit of the ganji coming out of there. Daryl literally passed his duchy on the left hand side. Well, let's see, where are you? It's more like the southeast hand side.
Right.
Anyway, so that's a thing, and we're excited to check those out. But for today, Jamie and Daryl are part of this here quiz deal, and Brian's going to explain the rules and how it works and what you could win.
That's right. Well, first I'm going to tell you that Stump Daryl is brought to you by Soundography on today's episode, just posted this morning at soundography.com. We're not just focusing on an artist. We're not just talking about one band or one musician. No, we're talking about an entire year of music, the year 1984, which saw great albums like Purple Rain and Born in the USA and the first Bangles album and first Eurythmics album. And we talk about some of our favorites from that year. It's right there at soundography.com. Download it today.
Check it out today. All right, Brian, how's this work?
All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to ask Daryl a trivia question. The answer to that trivia question is numeric. He's going to give his answer, which hopefully you'll be wrong. But, you know, we always have hope, Daryl, that someday you're gonna surprise us.
Yeah.
Then we're going to turn to you, Jamie. We're going to ask you if the real answer is higher or lower than Daryl's guess. If you are correct today, you win a digital code to unlock one of the movies from 2016. You like how I don't say one of the best movies from 2016? One of the movies. If you see one movie this year, it shouldn't be this one. Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. Yes. You get a digital code. So you actually get to own that movie for free. And, you know, the extended version is a little bit better than the theatrical version. So there's that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, good.
Okay, good.
All right.
Let this be, if you win, then this will be your first viewing and you'll experience something better than we did in the theaters.
Also, how much, you know, cheap is good. You know what's better than cheap? Free. Free is better than cheap.
Yes, free is way better than cheap.
Free is great.
Yeah, I like free a lot. Free is pretty good. All right, Daryl, before we move on, gotta ask you a question about Star Trek. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Carter and I have been watching a little DS9 when she's been home.
Nice.
Had a little argument last night. Not an argument, but we were trying to determine whether or not that show made a mistake in having so many Jake and Nog stories.
Yes.
And
Now,
here's my thing. I understand. Okay, Star Trek has never been very good at any kid stuff ever.
Oh, right.
They're just bad at it. They don't know what to do. I don't know if no one has kids or something or what.
See the Alexander principle.
Yeah. They call it the Alexander construct
effect.
Or something.
Yeah.
Effect, yeah. And they just aren't good at it. And so anytime there's a sub story or some kids involved, it's always bad. And I got the impression that they're kind of terrible. Carter's assertion is, sure, they're kind of terrible, or at least the execution's not great, but they explore parts of the story that are important in DS9's lore, and also as it went on and as they got older, they got better. What is your particular opinion about the Jake Nog effect?
I think they're all terrible, and they were always irrelevant B stories that distracted from the main one.
Okay.
Usually.
All right, I'm with you then. You and I are together on this.
Jake and Nog stories, better or worse than somebody escapes from the holodeck? Discuss, Daryl.
Yeah, no kidding, Daryl. So there's a scene in this one that we watched last night where Jake was, or Nog was playing a joke on Jake where he acted like he had Odo's resting bucket, you know, where Odo would just rest in there, liquid. Yeah. And he threw it all over Jake, and it was just all over Jake. And he thought he had just thrown Odo all over him. And then he said, and he's like, oh no, Odo. And he's trying to lift up the gunk off of him and keep it in a, you know, somewhat solid state. Like, oh no, we've got Odo all over me. And then
some of Odo went in my mouth. Yeah.
And then Nog said, ha, it's oatmeal, it's oatmeal. And I said, Carter, this is just dumb. And she said, well, I'll give you this one. So anyway, it's an ongoing conflict. We're not sure how we feel here in the Johnson household, but I'm glad to hear that you concur.
I think any episode with the Cardassian Taylor makes up for the Odo and Jake stories, though.
He was so good. That guy.
He was great.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff to love. Listen, and also, and Carter and I agree, we think that Quark is probably the best, one of the best Star Trek characters ever. Mm-hmm. And that's ironic because, generally speaking, that the Ferengi drive me freaking crazy. Yes. They drive me up the wall.
Yeah, but initially they were such a one-dimensional character.
Yeah.
Species.
Yeah, little latinum-seeking little turds.
Exactly, yeah.
And but, he was that way, but he brought a nuance to it and kind of a calm to it. Mm-hmm. There was a sinister value to him, but then he was also always kind of did the right thing. And he's awesome. Like, I don't know if it was just Amarin Shimmerman or how you say his name. Maybe he just
Armin.
What did I say? Amarin. Yeah.
Amarin.
You know, let my Amarin go. Anyway, let's get to the question. Here you go, Daryl. It's by the way, your topic is Todd McFarlane. You know him. He's did Spawn.
Famous. He makes toys.
Yeah. Well, now he does mostly, but also comics. You know, things like that. Image Comics, primarily founded by him and others. He was a very huge deal in his day.
Yeah, and he drew a Spider-Man that nobody could keep up with because he put so much damn detail into the Spider-Man.
That Spider-Man run was so cool.
It was really cool.
It was so cool. Anyway, so it's about him, and here's your question. Todd McFarlane is probably best known for his work on Spider-Man, creating Spawn and McFarlane Toys, or as he wrote, McFarlane Wee Toys. In 1998, he bought the baseball Mark McGwire hit for his 70th home run that season. How much in U.S. dollars did Todd McFarlane pay for the baseball? And a quick side note, this won't give anything away, but it was shortly after this that Mark McGwire got rolled into that whole scandal wherever he was taking steroids.
Scandal, yeah.
Yeah, in 06 or whatever it was. And that ball's value went down tremendously.
Right.
Really low. And that was kind of a bummer for Todd, I guess. But anyway, so what do you think that number was in U.S. dollars?
So what happened with the ball?
So
he still has them.
He still has it. Yeah,
it's part of the McFarlane collection. It tours around. It was in Cooperstown, right? Isn't that where the Hall of Fame is? And it was in Cooperstown for a while. The whole collection. And
he's like an over the top freak out baseball fan. He loves it, loves it, loves it. So he buys a lot of memorabilia, a lot of auction
stuff. He
actually owns
10 home run balls.
Yeah. Famous home run balls, and in this case, 70th was a record for a season. So, how many games are in a season? It's like 80 something.
Oh, more than that. I want to say it's like over 100. It's like 112 or 114 or something.
Is it okay? 70 still per. That's a strong number. That's a
Sidian says 184. Is that really
what? That can't be.
No,
that's way too
it
high.
It include postseason, I believe it.
Wow, maybe it is that high. Baseball's weird. Anyway, he loves baseball, and besides comics and stuff, that was his one love, and so now that's, you know, he's super into that stuff. And he was also a silent bidder, so nobody knew it was Todd McFarlane until after the fact.
162, by the way. I looked it up just as Sidian was putting in the chat. 162 games a season.
That's still a lot.
So really, you know, 70 is pretty weak. If you can only get 70 home runs and you've got 162 games to do it, jeez.
Yeah, lame McGwire.
That was the year that it was Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire.
Yep.
With the home run race.
Yeah, that's right.
Totally. Going back and forth. And McFarlane actually owns some Sammy Sosa balls, too. I keep giving Ice Worm these really easy ones. Yeah.
Someone's got Sammy Sosa's balls under glass. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah.
I wonder if my my Kurt Schilling ball is worth any more or less now that Kurt's kind of gone a little bit extreme. I wonder about that sometimes.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, so there's that. What was the other thing I was going to tell you? I forgot. Also, I would think I was blown away that Jamie is such a baseball fan. You probably know more than we do. I'm sure you do.
It'd be easy to know more than we do.
So you were a baseball player. Oh, that's so cool. I like baseball a lot.
And my grandma's a huge Cardinals fan, so.
Oh, okay. Go St. Louis. That's
go
awesome.
Cards.
Yeah, yeah. Very cool. Tom would like to hear that on Wednesday, but he's not
here.
Yeah,
for sure.
All right. So, Daryl, what do you think? What's that number, do you think?
Oh, I have not even the slightest clue. Oh, let's see. Ted, well, it's not going to be millions. Well, I guess it could be. No, it can't be that much.
I like that you have there's like an invisible friend next to you that's telling you.
Exactly. Yeah. I know. A little devil on one shoulder and angel on the other one.
Yeah. What do you mean kill them all? I just want to kill them all.
I'm going to say it's not as much as one would think, but I don't know what one would think. So that's a stupid statement.
Nailed it.
Nailed it.
Well, I'll say, I'll just stick with, well, this is so impossible. How about we take approximately half of 47, which would be 23. Let's say
$23,500 in U.S. dollars. $23,000 plus.
Oh, wait. That seems too high.
Okay.
How about...
Is a little angel talking to you now, or...
I don't know. 18... No.
Are you on eBay?
I'll just say 18,000.
They have a whole Mark McGuire ball section.
That's right.
Sorry, 18,000 you say?
I guess.
All right. Well,
no, maybe I should change it again.
You decide.
I have a feeling that no matter what number you say, I think Jamie will know this.
Yeah, I feel like she knows either way. Yeah.
Okay, 23,500. I'll just go with the first
23,500. Brian, is that number right?
23,500 is incorrect. Jamie, is the actual number higher or lower than 23,500? Oh, no.
Did we lose her?
Jamie?
Oh, maybe she cheeked the mute.
Jamie, we can't hear you, Jamie. If you're talking,
I did cheek the mute.
Ah, she cheeked the mute. I can always tell when someone cheeks the mute.
How cheeky of you.
Oh, I'm so glad that we didn't lose you, though. I would have felt sad about that. Yeah. All right.
So here's my question. Did it get purchased the year that it was hit?
Yes.
No more questions. I didn't have
He did purchase it the year it was hit. It was caught by... it was caught by a dude named Ostrowski or Oswaldo or something like that. And
the guy took it
into work to show all of his friends. And then the next day he put it up for auction.
Oh, a guy in the stand, you mean?
The guy in the stand.
I'm going to say it's going to be higher.
You're going to say higher than 23, whatever, $1,000.
His name was Aswaldo?
Yes, Aswaldo. Find Aswaldo. Okay. You're supposed to...
Where's Aswaldo?
Yeah, where's that? See if you can find Aswaldo. All right, let's find out if that is correct. Is it higher?
Congratulations.
It's not just higher.
You're a winner.
It's way higher. The final amount was $3 million.
Oh, geez. Okay. No matter what I guessed, I would have been wrong.
The exact amount.
Captain Kipper was close.
Yeah, he was probably really close. I thought it was like $2.7 million. I knew it was in the millions, though.
Well, and that's technically it was 2.7, but he worked with a commission house and paid $300,005 in commission fees.
Oh.
So $300,000 plus $2.7 million is the actual answer of $3
million and $5. And $5. I love that there's a little fiver on the end of that.
Yes,
thing.
Right.
McFarland owns 7 McGuire home run balls and 3 home run balls hit by Sammy Sosa. The home run record would later be broken by Barry Bonds in 2001. Oh, wait, so this happened in the 90s?
Yeah, happened in 1998.
So it was 2005 or 6 that the value went down because they had those hearings. That's what it was. And he showed up and admitted it. Basically, McGuire got up and said, yeah,
I don't think that was ever in question. Wasn't the fact that they used steroids, maybe it was just always speculated but never confirmed.
Oh, yeah, it was always speculated but never confirmed, right. And that was that big deal where a bunch of people got up. and denied it, but then some admitted it, McGuire being one of them. And the minute that happened, I think that ball went.
Yeah. It's now not like bat corking.
Now it's worth $23,500.
Well, somebody actually did, I think, really shortly after McFarland bought all those different balls, because there were a bunch of, like, you know, so like you said, seven McGuire home run balls, and they had them all appraised, and they were all far worth far less even then than what McFarland paid for them.
Yeah, he kind of, it's like gambling. He kind of has a problem, I think.
Yeah.
Like, don't do that anymore, Todd. I met Todd, talked to him on the phone for about an hour and a half. He's a super nice guy, but he's got a ball problem. Quit buying those balls. All right. Well, Jamie, congratulations and well done. Versailles will never be the same now that you are the big winner today of the Batman v Superman digital code. We'll get to that to you in the chat room. Also, I don't normally say this, and this is not to poo-poo on any of our previous winners or losers, but you're one of my favorite calling guests we've ever had, not just because of the shirts even. I'm not biased about all that stuff. I just think you sound like a rad person and be fun to talk to.
Aw.
I'm freaking out.
I guess it's all you're getting.
Bye.
Bye, Jamie.
She sounds like she's at work.
I think so, yeah.
Hey, Daryl, you're the Trek nerd on Twitter. People can find you there and This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast as well. As you can tell, a lot of those names have something to do with Star Trek. So if you want to get your Star Trek fix, Daryl's a guy that can hook you up. Daryl, let's now play a disquieting exit game that we like to refer to as
YouTube.
YouTube.
Okay, I'm going to read. What am I going to read? Oh, I got something, I guess. I don't like them, but I have them.
All right.
I'm going to read part of a query that I've entered in YouTube. You complete the phrase and win that thing.
All right.
Somebody sent this in. I didn't write down who.
Like a fan or somebody? Some
a listener.
Okay.
And it's a Google thing. It's not YouTube.
Oh, all right.
Internet is like blank.
The internet is like blank?
Is like blank. A series of tubes!
Yeah, without the, it's just internet is like blank.
Oh, internet is like blank.
It could be a series of tubes.
Oxygen.
The internet is like, or the internet is like. I feel like I'm hearing a secret meeting. Sorry, I got hold on. The internet is like.
Not just internet is like.
I don't know what to call it. The internet is like what? It's like a. The internet is like. I don't know. The future. I don't know. The internet is like the future. That's what I'm going to say. Because I can't. Honestly, I can't think of anything. What else would it be like? I think Brian's the series of tubes might actually be it.
Well, and I'm changing that to oxygen. I'm saying right, internet is like oxygen.
You're going to say oxygen. I'm going to steal your tube, your series of tubes.
Take my series of tubes.
Yeah. So
take them.
So Daryl, how'd it go there?
Okay. The number one internet search result on Google is internet is like Oreos.
Why? Hold on. The internet is like Oreos. That doesn't come up for me, but let's find out why. ISP explains that data caps to FCC. Using the internet is like eating Oreos, they say. You have to pay extra for double stuffed.
Oh, jeez. What?
F off.
Yeah, I get that too. But the second one is internet is like a series of tubes.
Oh, okay, so you're close. So Brian and I almost kind of sort of win together because he had the idea and then I stole it.
Right.
That's how that works. Daryl, go away. Bye.
Okay.
All right. Here's the news.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
Oh, and that news is brought to you by
Home is Forward. It's the long-awaited next book by the Tadpool's own travel writer, Gary Sizer. We walk the Appalachian Trail with him, and now, in Home is Forward, Gary is taking us all around the world. Gary will climb glaciers, run from moose, and dodge pickpockets so you don't have to. The last time we did this, the Tadpool helped make it a bestseller. Let's see if we can do it again. That's Home is Forward by Gary Sizer.
Sounds all right. Go check it out, Gary.
Well, we need a website or something. Gary, come on, Gary.
Hey, Gary.
Gary.
Where's the internet link, Gary? Here's
the Oreo.
Here's some, that Oreo thing. That's the dumbest comparison I've ever heard. And I don't know why I haven't heard it. I feel like I would have heard that with Tom or something.
It's like a bunch of cream filling surrounded by chocolate porn.
If you want double stuff, you got to pay extra.
Yeah.
F off. F you.
Isn't that the case with everything? Like, yeah. Couldn't you say, a car is like an Oreo. If you want double stuff, you've got to pay extra.
Yeah. Or you could say anything. Yeah. It's dumb.
Dumb.
Also, the internet doesn't work like that. You're not giving us some extra thing you didn't have. You have the bandwidth. You're all a-holes. Here's the stories of the day.
Okay.
You know what I'm running on, Brian? I just realized. I haven't eaten anything today.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing I had last night was 2 Benadryl. I took them because I couldn't sleep, so I took Benadryl. Sometimes it helps me sleep. When I take 2 Benadryl, I basically have a hangover.
Oh, geez.
I know. Benadryl's weird with me.
Well, you had a big Thanksgiving meal, but still you should have eaten a banana or an oatmeal or something this morning, Johnson.
Something should have done something, but taking 1 Benadryl does nothing for me. Taking 2 puts me out and ruins my next day.
Mm.
I wish there was such a thing as 1.5 Benadryl.
Well, you can make that by taking a Benadryl and breaking it in half.
I only have the little capsule ones. Can I get the kind you can break, like a little pill version? Probably.
Yeah, I'm sure they've got tablets.
Yeah, they ought to, right?
Yeah.
Not that I do it very often, but once in a while, I just need to conk out, you know? Or if I have bad allergies or something, and I do it overnight. But taking 2 of them just makes me into kind of a wreck.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, 3 L.A. Men. It's a fantastic new traveling touring show. Are suing Chipotle because they felt too full after finishing their burritos.
Oh, the humanity.
Mm-hmm. This is some litigious.
This is even first world problems. No. This is first idiot problems.
Yeah, these are 3 idiots and a burrito problems.
Yeah.
Dave Desmond couldn't believe his eyes when he walked into the Brentwood Chipotle and saw a gleeful sign advertising a 300-calorie chorizo burrito. Chorizo burrito.
Chorizo. Burrito.
It was too good to be true. 300 calories.
Rico. Suave.
It says, in a burrito? It can't be. And it came with rice, black beans, fresh tomato salsa, a sprinkle of cheese? Surely something must have been wrong. Eager to experiment with Chipotle's apparently new low-calorie option, Desmond purchased the advertised burrito while eating it.
It's the floweriest writing. Like, it's just so embellished with, like, he was eager to try the new burrito.
Yeah. Well, it comes from the LAist.com.
Laced.
Yeah, laced. Laced.
Laced. What a waste of time.
No kidding. That's pretty good. He says he ate it and felt excessively full and realized the burrito couldn't have been just 300 calories after eating the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's his deal. A similar circumstance unfolded in the days following Desmond's unfortunate overeating accident. Come on now.
Okay, so LAist, well done. You've roped us in with a piece of crab headline. So really, he's not suing because he was excessively full. Mm-hmm. He's suing them because he thinks that burrito has to be more than 300 calories, yep. And it's misrepresentation.
Yep, and the way they talk, listen, it gets worse. When Edward Gurevich purchased an uncannily similar burrito at a Chipotle location in Burbank.
Oh, please let me do this in Ira Glass's voice.
All right, do it.
When Edward Gurevich purchased an uncannily similar burrito at a Chipotle location in Burbank, he too was alarmed by the burrito's apparent size.
Accurate.
Today on This American Life, 3 stories of men who felt too full after eating a Chipotle burrito.
Stay with us. You're not going to want to miss it. It says the same thing happened with Young Hoon Kim, who also claimed he felt bloated. So now they have come together and decided to sue the company. Y'all are litigious buttholes.
Right. It makes sense if you have proof that it's more than 300 calories and it's misrepresentation, sure.
Yeah.
But, I feel full. Mm-hmm. That had to be more than 300 calories.
Yeah, how do you prove this? Because you already ate the one they ate, and it's not like they can go to the Chipotle and go, all right, make me this burrito. Let's see if it's truly 300 calories. Right. They'll just make you a smaller one to prove that it was. What are you going to do? You going to measure the size of the Duke you take the next day? Like, what are you going to do?
Right. It just seems really...
Throw that one out. It's a dumb...
There we go. Chipotle chorizo ad. Misleading poster says chorizo burrito has 300 calories. So competing with LAist.com is the Thrillist.com article that is saying that that it is a mislabeled... the Chipotle calorie calculator suggests that the chorizo burrito with rice, beans, salsa, sour cream, and cheese is 1,165 calories.
All right, so great. But what's the damages? What are you going to ask for in court? Your money back? Yeah. Fine. That makes sense. Go get your money. They'll probably give it to you now if you ask them. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, let's say it's 1,000 calories. What are you actually doing? Did you receive some sort of mental anguish for eating a burrito that was a little more than you thought it was?
I'm so full.
I'm so full. Your
I'm
Honor.
Suffering punitive damages.
Your Honor, our client is requesting punitive damages to the level of $8 million.
It's apparently 300 calories of the chorizo portion.
Oh, is this misleading?
Yeah, so I mean, the chorizo, if you just got the chorizo with no tortilla, no rice, no beans, no salsa, no cheese, no sour cream, then you'd have 300 calories of chorizo in your greasy little hands.
All right. Come on, Chipotle, get on it. You had your food poisoning, now you got this. What are you going to do over there?
Right, exactly.
But I still say it's a stupid lawsuit.
Yeah, it is.
A woman in Kent, that's in the UK, set fire to a Dollar Tree store.
This one's not in Kent, though.
Oh, it says in Kent. The store is in Kent. Oh, is that a different place?
Well, Kent.
Kent, California, it looks like, because it's Pacific Highway South. Let's see. It actually doesn't say.
Could be Kent, Oregon, or Kent, Washington.
You're totally right.
You keep going. I'm gonna find out where this place is. Right.
It makes sense. Washington. It makes sense. That there's no way the UK is not gonna have a Dollar Tree store, right?
No, they don't use a dollar.
They don't have a dollar. Pound free store.
It's the pound store.
Hey, welcome to Pound Tree. A pound. Yes. Except most of it isn't.
Right. Kent, Washington.
Oh, there you go. All right. Oh, Pacific Coast Highway goes all the way up there.
Up there by Daryltown.
Mm-hmm. Daryltown.
Where the
weed is free and the ladies are whatever.
Are easily angered.
Yeah. It says here that the Dollar Tree store in Kent was upset, or she was upset because there was no shopping cart, so she set the thing ablaze. A 64-year-old woman was charged Wednesday with first-degree arson in connection with a fire that destroyed several businesses at a Kent strip mall, so it spread to the other stores. King County Prosecutor's Office charged Linda Catherine Poplowski with a first-degree arson. Bail was set at $225,000. That is significantly less than the cost of a Mark McGwire home run ball.
No kidding. You've destroyed several businesses, and $225,000 is... Oh, that's just bail. I'm sorry. That's not how much damage she caused.
She's probably going to end up in jail for this. Or, you know, long-term prison term.
Oh, Daryl says he's in Kent right now.
Oh, he lives in Kent? He probably heard about this.
I think he works in Kent.
Okay. Hope he doesn't work in that strip mall.
It's like he's been off the last few days.
No kidding. Several businesses in the strip were destroyed in the fire. The roof of the building collapsed after the fire erupted around 3 p.m. According to court documents, the woman, quote, became upset that there was no shopping carts at the Dollar Tree store. She left the store and returned shortly afterward and told employees she was going to burn it down. She then went into an aisle where cards and party supplies were and then left the store telling employees the store was on fire. What are you doing at 64 doing that? What are you doing? What are we up to there?
It's so...
good Lord.
Milton from Office Space. I'm going to burn your store down.
Yeah, everyone took my stapler. That is really, really extreme.
It's obviously there's something else going on there that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, like her mental health, I'm thinking.
A little bit of an overreaction to what seems like a simple problem.
You'd think.
Yeah.
Doctors in the news have failed to figure out there was a coin stuck in a kid's throat for more than a month.
Mm.
37 days. These are bad doctors. Just want to point that out.
Yeah.
Most people don't think much about pennies these days. Oh, this is written like this is another Los Angeles thing.
Nice.
But for the mother, a single penny was the difference between life and death for her young son. Thanks to her persistence and her refusal to listen to some of her doctors, her son is now back to being a happy little toddler. Samantha Nax told the news a penny was stuck in her son's throat for 37 days.
Jeez.
Before doctors figured out what was wrong. He was developing a fever of 103, had some weird rash, had some infections, was not breathing right, all that kind of stuff. They took her to an urgent care. They all said it was a viral infection and just kicked her out. It was heart-wrenching to watch my son completely suffer, says Knox. That's a weird way to say it. Completely suffer.
Watch my son completely suffer. Yeah.
Isn't that weird? It's a little weird to say that.
It is a little weird.
Yeah. After 1 month, she took the toddler to the Miller's Children's Hospital in Long Beach, where doctors found out what was making the boy sick. They gave me the news. Immediately, I started crying. Doctors had to operate on the 8-month-old to get the penny out. Oh. Mm. Said it should have happened sooner if EJ's previous doctors had taken the x-ray of him. They all just assumed he had a cold.
Right. Some antibiotics. He'll be fine.
Yeah. Dude, let me tell you something about urgent care. Mm-hmm. It's not all that caring, and it's rarely urgent. Okay?
Right.
The urgent part is on you going in there urgently, not them helping you. My experiences with urgent care have never been great. That's where doctors go to die. And sometimes you do as well. Anyway, I'm sure someone worked for an urgent care, and I just made them look bad, and I apologize. All right, here's something that should never happen. 78-year-old men should not show us their butts, ever.
No, agreed.
Do you agree? Okay.
I agree. I've seen enough episodes of Westworld to agree with that.
Yes, and I've seen that. What was that movie with McConaughey and, can't remember, Failure to Launch, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And
Kate Hudson.
Yeah, and it had a football legend, Terry Bradshaw, butt naked, and his bum is gross. He has a gross bum.
Mm.
Not into that bum. No. Anyway, Houston man. He's 78 years old, just shy of 80. Busted by cops after mooning a woman who rejected his sugar daddy offer. Now, you might be thinking it was candy, Brian.
Right, yeah. Did he then offer sugar babies?
He did not. Oh. He was identified as Robert
milk
Scott.
Duds? I guess he kind of did offer a couple milk duds.
Yeah, he totally did. Gross.
Little raisinettes.
The man identified as Robert Scott of Houston. Robert Scott of Houston. Lurked around the Doubletree Hotel in Kenner, Louisiana, was booked with sexual battery and obscenity, after he mooned a 29-year-old woman Saturday, according to the Kenner Police Department, or the KPD. The unidentified woman told officers she was attending a seminar for aspiring models inside of the hotel, then stepped out to grab lunch at 1:13 p.m., Lieutenant Brian McGregor of the Kenner Police Department told the Daily News. So there you go.
I just can't understand why that wouldn't work, huh?
Weird.
Yeah.
Hey, would you like to be my concubine? I'll be your sugar daddy.
How you feel about that?
Hey, look at my butt.
You don't want to do it? Well, I'll pull my pants down then.
I don't understand.
This'll convince you.
I'm sure it went a long way there, Robert Scott. He sounds like a fancy name. That's a fancy name.
Robert Scott.
Hello, I'm Robert Scott, and this is my wrinkly, saggy ass.
All right, quick conversation from us about a sponsor, a brand new one that I think you guys are going to like, and we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Oh, what do we have here? Mornings. Mornings are hard. You get up, you're tired. I'm tired today. You know what I could use? Something to perk me up. I got a great idea. For most of us, top quality coffee isn't a luxury, it's a necessity, but exceptional coffee requires finding exceptional beans. It's all about the beans. That's why we love Stay Roasted. Stay Roasted delivers 100% specialty grade coffee beans, hand selected to your taste and delivered fresh to you, directly to you. It's really simple. You just go to the site, you set some basic preferences, and let your roasters handle the rest. That's right, they're your roasters. They let you pick from dozens of America's top craft coffee roasters for your personal roster lineup, or say roaster roster. It's kind of hard to say. Your top roaster will match you up with their finest beans and deliver them fresh to you. When it's refill time, your next roaster on the queue is ready to go, and they just send it to you. It's like Netflix for coffee. And they only start at like 60 cents per brewed cup. No commitments. You don't have to like long-term commit that thing. I love companies that do that. Try it now for yourself. Visit stayroasted.com/stream and get your first bag of coffee for free. You just pay the shipping. Again, that's stayroasted.com/stream. They also have gift cards and other stuff. Makes a perfect gift for the coffee lover in your life this holiday season. Once again, go to stayroasted.com/stream and get that first bag for free. All you pay is shipping. Stay Roasted. Stay Roasted. We're going to take a pause here and play some music. Brian brought some.
I did.
I'm pretty excited to hear what you've brought today. What do you got for me?
I have brought some funk. I'm bringing the funk, bringing the noise, Scott. This is the first single entitled Pacified from the Los Angeles-based soul act Soul Scratch. These guys are great. They have a brand new album coming out called Pushing Fire. And that comes out next year, January 13th, on vinyl, CD, and digital formats. Big thanks to Coal Mine Records for hooking me up with this. This is great stuff. You're really going to dig this. Again, the band is Soul Scratch, and the album comes out January 17th. Here's the song, Pacified.
All right, here it is. We'll be back in a second. Stay tuned.
Shoes.
Whoops.
The morning stream, and I feel fine.
And we're back.
That was crazy. That was Joe Davola.
It was, yeah. And he's just as crazy in that movie as he is in.
Yeah, as he is in Seinfeld.
Yeah, what a weird movie.
Yeah,
freaking weird.
So many actors you know though in that thing. I mean, it's like watching Con Air. It's like, oh, I know that guy. Oh, I know that guy. Oh, there's that guy.
Yeah, everybody who's everybody was in Rising Sun, and we covered it on FilmSack, and that'll be up a little bit later today. I didn't get it up Sunday, but it will be up later today. That's what happens when you have two. That's what happens when you have two freaking Thanksgivings in a week. You just stuff gets weird, but it'll be up today, so don't worry, everyone.
Yeah.
All right. That's it. Oh, why is that? Nothing's working.
The soundboard has become sentient.
It's behaving weirdly today, and I don't know why. All right. Hey, what's up now? I know what's up. It's Steven Schleicher time. And we call him on Mondays, and we talk about the world that he inhabits, which is, you know, pop culture and video games and movies and cool stuff. All the cool stuff really happens with Steven, and we're going to play his little theme right now. Here you go. Steven Schleicher, all the way from Kansas. What's going on, Steven?
Not a whole lot. What's going on with you guys?
Oh, you know, just sitting here trying to work off a bad Benadryl hangover.
Oh, yeah. Fun yeah. times.
They affect, yeah. I think they affect me in ways that don't other people. Other people seem to just be able to take it like candy, no big deal. Just, you know, allergies.
And there may be
a
built-up immunity in other people yeah. that you don't have.
I don't have it. I get so groggy. Like, if I drove right now, I'd be a hazard. I would be,
oh, jeez.
I would
don't do that. Hazardous.
Compared to other times?
Yeah. Compared to my normal hazardous self.
You get yourself a chorizo burrito from Chipotle and get something in your belly to absorb all that
that's not a bad
all
idea.
That Benadryl.
Let's do that. 300 calories. Absorb.
300 calories. That's all 300 calories.
That's all it is, yeah. Wait, it's 1,000 I'm suing. All right, hey. Steven, we would be remiss if we jumped in too quickly here and talked about the things that you want to talk about without first playing this, which I can't find. Here it is. Oh, yeah, it's the Rockford Files moment with Steven Schleicher. Give us some skinny.
You're assuming I don't want to talk about the Rockford Files. there's a fun episode. It's episode 37 in the entire series called The No Cut Contract. Mm. It guest stars Rob Reiner, who at the same time was in All of the Family.
Yeah.
And he plays this kind of washed up, not NFL football player, but maybe like a second league football player, quarterback, and is kind of a big deal. And he's got all this stuff on the mobsters. He picked Rockford's name out of a phone book and sent the mobsters after him. They break into his house to get some tapes, and they walk out of his house with music that we later find out is some of Jim Rockford's favorite. That is the music of Ella Fitzgerald and Count Basie.
Wow.
He loves it, and of course, back in the 70s, it was not uncommon to have a reel-to-reel in your house to play the music, and he had tons of jazz music featuring Fitzgerald. And
so these were this was reel to reel tape then. Like that's what I was going to ask you. It's not like a cassette tape. That would have been too early. Okay.
I mean, cassette tapes were around.
Yeah.
You've never even heard music unless you've heard it on a reel to reel. It's the only way to listen to music.
Somewhere, I don't know where, somewhere in storage, I have multiple reel to reel tapes from my grandfather's reel to reel machine that I spent hours recording stupid things on when I was a kid. And I used to think that was so cool. And now I'm sure that stuff's probably rotted or something. Like, it probably wouldn't work at all. I should try to salvage it, though.
It depends on how it's stored. I mean, it still could be useful. I worked when I was at the university. I worked with their special collections department to help keep their historic audio library up to date. So we would transfer stuff all the time from, like, the wire recorders to reel-to-reel and then reel-to-reel to CD and then to digital audio. So it was kind of a cool project.
Yeah, it's fun to restore all that stuff. I have a lot of things like that I should really go through. I have some old cassette tapes that...
The hardest thing is finding the machine to play it on.
Yep. I still have a working yellow Sportsman Walkman that totally works still.
Oh, cool.
And I think I should use that maybe. Just line out and analog that stuff in there and make a digital version of it or something.
Yeah.
Because I've got some old tapes like when I was like 8 or 9 years old being an idiot. And I'm never going to have that again if I don't do it.
Nope.
In fact, I found I did this already once because it just seemed so valuable. My dad recorded me when I was a baby and then later as a 2-year-old. And it was on these ancient tapes. And I'm like, if I don't get this off here, this is lost.
So pick yourself up one of these for $15 from Amazon. It is a USB cassette player. It's like a little Walkman, but it hooks up via USB. And that way you don't have to use an analog connection to record. It'll be a little bit better.
Oh, no way. Oh, yeah, that's nice. That's super cool. Oh, yeah. Here it is. Here's the audio.
Do they have that in reel-to-reel form?
Here's the audio from 19...
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I guess it's reel-to-reel is what we're talking about. Not cassettes, yeah.
Here it is. Here it is from 1970. I'll play a piece of it. Check this out.
This is a recording of Scotty Blaine Johnson, January 1971.
71, sorry.
What you doing, Scotty?
You're mine?
That's me.
Up here? Okay, jump up here. Yeah. Oh, you'd rather play at the tape recorder, huh? Yeah.
I talk total gibberish, just complete gibberish.
My goodness.
Yeah.
You guys sound like you're underwater on that thing.
Well, that tape was getting old, so partly why we had to salvage it is it was starting to decay. But anyway.
I'm sure they've got to have like a USB connected reel to reel or something.
I'm sure there's something like that.
So they have a lot of record players now, but that's because there's this resurgence in record player stuff. So I feel like you're almost hosed. And maybe there are services that do this, like you can send that to them, like with videotape or whatever. Yeah.
they do. They still have those companies that do your 8mm to VHS to DVD stuff. So
that's true. Hey, by the way, I'm way into the idea that Rockford was into Count Basie and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I love that music. I've been playing it. It's almost like Christmas music without the Christmas songs. Mm-hmm. For me, that's how I feel about like great big band and crooner stuff. So yesterday, all day, we just had a station on the Echo playing nothing but that all day long.
Nice.
Yeah. It was great. It was great.
The kids were saying the other day, they were like, how come we are not listening to any music at the table tonight? I missed that. I was like, okay, hey, Siri, play some jazz. And sure enough, it just kicks it. Whoops, sorry. Siri just started playing jazz for me.
for about 500 people.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and it's cool because you can just say, hey, start playing it. So
yeah.
We live in a magical age.
It's crazy. We live in the future.
Now, how do you listen to those reel-to-reel tapes in that big old convertible Chrysler that he drove around?
Yeah, good point. Not possible. Was it a Chrysler? Not possible. Wasn't a Chrysler. What did you?
It wasn't a Chrysler convertible. It was a Pontiac Esprit.
That's right.
Esprit, that's right.
Okay. Which is still a piece of poo. Let's all admit it. All right. There's your there's your thing. Done with the Rockford. All right, Steven.
Yes.
Before I ask you this first pointed question, have mm-hmm. Were you able to find a theater that had Arrival in it?
No. That movie is in a. Not a wide release. It's like a smaller release. It only opened in like 2,000 theaters nationwide. Yeah. And to be a wide release, it has to be 3,000 plus. Mm-hmm. So this is still not arrived in our theater. And we've asked AMC a couple of times, hey, are you going to get it? Maybe it'll come this week now that it's starting to pick up a lot of traction, but we're still arrivalless. Mm-hmm. And Cargill, who co-wrote the Doctor Strange movie, is like, Steven, you need to drive however far it is to get over to see Arrival. So
good, man.
I did see Fantastic Beasts over the weekend, and I agree with probably a lot of the people coming out of Brian's theater is, and I think the reason why older people are liking it more is because the 11-year-olds grew up with Harry Potter, and now they're at a point where they've matured and they can handle a more mature tale mm-hmm. in Fantastic Beasts. And I thought it was good. I have some problems with it, but overall I thought it was a good movie.
Yeah, I hear it's a little darker. Like, it isn't for your 8-year-olds.
It
yeah.
is, and I was surprised by the ending about what happened at the ending mm-hmm. with the reveal, but I thought it was good, and you guys had questioned earlier. It already is a 5-picture deal. Mm. It was going to be 3, okay. and then they expanded it to 5.
5, right. Good Lord. All right. See you guys in 2028 or whatever.
That's right.
Holy shit. We're going to be old and dead.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good deal on that. Tell us about Life Day and how we celebrated it.
Oh, man. Speaking of things that are old and dead. 38 years ago today, Scott Johnson, all of us, you probably all 3 of us were in the schoolyard going, what in the hell did we just watch on CBS this weekend?
Yeah.
On Friday night, 38 years ago, November 17th, the CBS network aired once and one time only the Star Wars Holiday Special. And you can find bits and pieces out on the internet, but last week, I actually found the full show up on YouTube mm-hmm. that you can watch it and be horrified about what this is.
Yeah. Come on, you've got Carrie Fisher singing, you've got Bea Arthur for some reason, you've got lots of
Harvey Korman.
Korman,
yes. Yep.
You've got Wookiees talking without subtitles, grunting without subtitles for about 10 minutes.
Yeah. Lumpy Chewbacca's son and Itchy has either your father or father-in-law. I forget which one. So, right.
But you also have Leia and Han, who are probably just thinking about their sweet affair they just had. None of us knew about.
Oh, right. Yeah, coming off of that business.
Yeah.
And you've got the cartoon appearance of Boba Fett.
Oh, that's Boba right. Fett. Boba Fett. But Boba Fett.
I tried watching this again, and then I was having horrible flashbacks to the first time that this aired. I can only remember 2 things from the first time that ever aired. The first segment that featured Mark Hamill and R2-D2 together on screen
yeah.
when they're trying to repair things and going, that looks nothing like Mark Hamill.
No, it was weird.
And then the animated bit featuring Boba Fett. Those are the only 2 things I remember from that show, the first airing 38 years ago. I started watching this again, and I was like, oh my God, I cannot believe we watched this. And I'm having vague recollections that in the second hour, I think the family kind of got bored and it just became background noise for that second hour.
I believe I believe that's very possible. And that was that thing in whole. It was a 2-hour special.
A 2-hour special. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, we've been talking about watching this for FilmSack forever. We should probably try to do that this Christmas. Finally.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Definitely do it, because the one that we have up on Major Spoilers right now, which is out to YouTube. No commercial, so you can watch it completely without commercial interruption. Mm-hmm. I will tell you this. You're talking about scraping the barrel of movies there. This is definitely FilmSack worthy.
How long is it without commercials? Like an hour 30 or something?
One 1:36.
Okay. I say we do a live commentary.
That'd be all right. I'd do that.
Yeah.
I think there'll be a lot of retching.
Yeah.
And a lot of pouring of bleach into the eye sockets.
Do you like this? Do you like this line?
The loin.
The loin.
The loin is very tasty and serves four nicely.
All right. Remember that? That's that cook lady on
yes,
that thing.
Yes. It's. Yes.
Here's a long version of that.
I'm going to be using the tenderest cut of the bantha, the loin. The loin is very tasty and serves four nicely.
There you go. The
it's
loin.
It's so good to see Janeway get some work before she was on Voyager.
Commander Paris, bring me the loin.
Bring me the loin.
The loin, please.
It is the tenderest of all of my crewmates.
The Paris loin. All right. Well, we'll celebrate Life Day in the only way people know how, which is go find that and watch it, and maybe we'll film sack it for a live thing. Or maybe that's the one we do for that thing where we're trying to beat Randy to Hawaii. You know what I mean? Because he has to leave. Because he has to
trying
leave.
To beat Randy?
Well, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Like that idea. I think it's a great idea. We can do that on some night during the week. It doesn't have to be on a weekend so that we can make sure Randy's part of it.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Superman. Always Superman number one in the news. There's always like a, hey, we found another Superman Action Comics and it was in really good shape and it went for a bunch of money. So how did the latest one do and who got the money? Who sold this thing?
Yeah, so Heritage Auctions always has some great comics up for sale. Some of them are relatively inexpensive. I say relatively. You can get some really great comics from like the 70s and 80s for a couple hundred dollars. Or if you're looking for the 1939 Superman number one cover or appearance, that one went up for auction over the weekend and had a final selling price of $358,000 for some lucky winner who bid on this. Now, this was really interesting because it's only a 4.5 graded comic, which means the colors are off and, you know, there's some degradation to the comic. It's interesting that something that had that low of a quality, which has never been restored, went for that much, although there have been restored versions that have sold for much, much higher.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought these things, no matter, I thought at this point, just the rarity of them would circumvent quality drop, you know? Like,
and I think that's the case here.
Okay. So if I find one of these, not saying I will, but if I've got somewhere something...
You can probably find some that have detached covers that might get a 1.0 or lower rating, and you could probably still get $10,000 off of it.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, I could use that cash. I don't have one, though. Don't have that comic. Right. I have some really...
Next time you buy a house, buy an older house and start breaking open the walls and see what's inside.
Oh, good
and
point.
And the important note on this is that it's not Action Comics...
No, it's not Action Comics. It's the Superman.
Superman. Yeah.
Oh, so this isn't even the first Action Comics thing with him.
Uh-uh.
The version of him throwing the car, right? Something.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That.
That's Action Comics. That came out in 1938.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see. Well, if I had just looked at your link, I would have had all this figured out.
Let's see. There you go.
Yeah, I'm going to pull this up for the chat room. You guys can see this. Maybe.
But it's all in full color.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that one. I know that one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. The complete story of the daring exploits of the one and only Superman. All in color. 64 pages of action.
64 pages, man, for 10 cents.
Yeah.
Today, 64 pages is like $8.
Yeah.
Jeez, no kidding.
That's like a graphic novel, dude.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow. All right. Well, good deal and well done, I suppose, for whoever sold that. It doesn't say who sold it, does it?
No, well, Heritage Auction sold it. It doesn't say who bought it.
Yeah.
Unless you want to get into the premium account or whatever, and I think it lists it there at the Heritage site. But yeah, whoever has that money, good on you for doing that.
Yeah, no kidding.
This is like one of those things that should appreciate in value. So in 10 years, you can add on probably another $75,000 to $100,000 onto it in the next decade.
Yeah, probably. How are you? If I could go to Schleicher's house and look through all your long boxes and stuff. What is the most valuable comic you think you own?
I don't know. My collection, I don't know. And this is going to sound really weird, but literally I have 60,000 comics in a room.
Wow. Good Lord. doesn't sound weird. That sounds crazy huge. No, that's a lot.
It's a lot. I mean, if you figure I've been collecting since the 80s to today, and then I've also gone back and got a bunch of back issues. I would say, you know, the most I've ever spent on a comic was $500.
Oh my.
So
do you think that one's the one that's worth that more?
I mean, it's probably worth $500. It's probably not worth more than that. In fact, it's probably worth less if I were to sell it now, but that's probably the one that I have.
What is it? I'm curious.
It's a Flash comic from the 70s.
Okay.
Because once you start going back into that Silver Age period, then the prices start to skyrocket.
Yeah.
There's the first appearance of Wolverine there in the Hulk. Right. What's that? 86. Okay. Is that it?
What the year was on this?
No, the issue number.
Oh, 181.
I keep forgetting.
Yep. And that Brian, probably is your most valuable.
This
color.
Is my most valuable. Yeah. And sadly, I got this fairly inexpensively because they're on a non-artwork page. There is some page damage. There's no artwork on the front or back of that, but it's it's where the Marvel value stamp was, and some moron cut the Marvel value stamp out.
Oh no!
Yeah, what a moron. But
that's okay. Yeah,
it's a non-artwork page. I'm gonna have this thing CGC graded at some point, but
it's not already. Yeah, no, you might as well do it. It's not super expensive to have done, and that's one that's a couple of hundred bucks right now. I think is what you can get a good copy of that for. Technically, though, that's not the first appearance of the Wolverine.
No, it's not. The issue right before it.
They had a little ad. There was a little ad at the bottom that said, who is the Wolverine?
Right. Mm. I think he was seen in Shadow or something. Or No. It's him.
It was an ad.
Actually coming out and saying, next issue. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, that's cool. So when you get that grading done, do you have to do it back? Do you have to keep doing it on the regular
because what they do is they seal it into like a plastic. It's called slabbed. It's basically sealed in Lucite. Oh. And providing that the seal is not broken, that grade stays forever because there's no oxygen or anything in there to cause the mold or mildew to grow or anything like that.
That's awesome.
And it's just graded. There's no, like, they don't say, all right, it's worth this much amount of money. They just say it's a 9.6 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then from then on, it is a 9.6 unless you, for some reason, break that seal.
What if you're just like, oh, I really want to read the amazing exploits of Superman?
Then I'm sure you find a copy
online.
I would say go to
Comixology. Yeah. Comixology or something.
Exactly.
Okay.
And for 99 cents.
The only other question I had is, and maybe this has come up somewhere before, but I feel like we may have talked about this at Nerdtacular, but when you, there has to be like a cutoff date where everybody stopped having valuable comics being made. I mean, like today you can make one, you can print one, but because of the nature of the business now, the rarity is not there anymore.
The golden age stuff, the reason why the golden age stuff is so rare is because during the Wortham scare, people were literally taking entire comic book collections and burning them in the trash. So you hear these people saying, oh, my mom threw out my comic book collection. Well, in the case of, the 1950s, late 40s and early 50s, that's literally what was happening. So the ability to get a hold of an Action Comics or a Superman is really, really low because there are so few of those still in existence that we know of. Mm-hmm. As we move into the Silver Age, people start saving more. Once we hit the 70s and 80s, though, comic books really start thinking them as a commodity. Mm. And by the 90s, I mean, good luck if somebody tried to sell me some comic book from the 90s and I just kind of, for a really high price. And I was like, I'll give you 25 cents because that's what I can go get it at the comic book store. Mm. By the 90s, there are so many prints being made and people are storing these that its rarity goes way down. Now, if there was a huge earthquake or if there was a paper, if we had to do paper drives again where it was forced recycling of stuff and some people saved their Savage Dragon 200 copy.
Yeah.
And then 50 years from now, suddenly you're like, here's something from 2016.
Yeah.
That might be worth something. But right now, the ones that are really hard to find are Golden Age and Silver Age Western comics are the ones that a lot of people are going for.
And it's possible like you get a different kind of scarcity off something modern. So like, for example, you buy a comic for a lot of money because it's certified that George Perez wiped a booger on the last page or something.
Yeah, there are some, like Valiant Entertainment just recently, they were, I forget what printing it was, but the stuff was coming off the line, and as they hit the 100th printing or 1,000th printing or whatever it was, they literally took it off the printing press, took it right to a CGC person who was there at the printing press, graded it, slabbed it, and sold it for like a 9.9, and that's something that would be rare and worth, maybe $1,000 or something like that. Mm. So you do get that kind of rarity, and you do get some stunt stuff where, like, if it's got a signature on it, that could increase value. Mm-hmm. If Kiss mixes their blood with the ink, that might increase the value of it. Those kinds of things.
Yeah, that was a real thing, right? They really did put their
blood in. Yeah, it was like a couple of drops each from each of them. Yeah. Into you like this huge vat of ink. Not like it was like, oh, I've got a full drop of Gene Simmons blood right in this issue. No, it's not.
I wonder if they could test those issues today, if they would find out how stoned or drunk they were at the time they gave.
It would be so hard to find any Kiss DNA on that.
Yeah, it'd be hard, right? At this point,
yeah, it's probably got other people's DNA all over it though.
Right, which I also don't like.
What's his face extracting it out there and making a park on the island full of Kiss members.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly.
He's the new bar.
hey, this has all been good. I want more rad stories like this, and I know how I'll get them. It's every Monday Stephen comes on, but also during the week I can check out majorspoilers.com. Anything happening on the site you would like people to point their squinties at?
Well, if they want to see my continuing adventures of trying to build a Lego Volkswagen Beetle, we finally have the third and final chapter of that up on the website today.
Old school nice. Beetle? We're talking about the old
yeah,
one.
Yeah, it's the 1960s. Lego has a set that came out quite a while ago, I want to say in August. Mm. And many weeks ago, I opened up the box to finally build it, and come to find out, and this is a rarity, I was missing an entire bag of bricks.
Oh.
So then they sent me the replacement bag, and they forgot to include the two smaller bags that were in that bigger bag.
Oh, no.
Oh,
so
Lego.
Then they finally sent a new box, and I got to build it this weekend. So it's a really nice little car.
Way to go, Lego. May as well
Lego is really cool about it, though. They were like, hey, we just need some information from you. And there's some interesting things in the Lego manuals and on your box that will tell them exactly where this set was put together at. Where
oh,
it was,
wow. So they know who to blame.
They know, they can track it down to know who to blame, but they're super cool. Anytime I've ever talked with Lego customer support, they are super, super awesome. And, you know, I've bought Lego for 35 years, 40 years,
yeah.
And I've never had a situation like this. So, you know, 40 years of buying Lego and having one mistake like this is a pretty good job. And no wonder they're the number one toy company in the world. So people can go over to Major Spoilers and check that out. Mm. It is Thanksgiving week. So today and tomorrow are going to be the really big news days. By Wednesday, unless there's some big movie thing coming up, it's going to be it for the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, take a little time off there, man.
Yeah.
And next time you have a Lego problem, call them up and say, I'm going to Mega Bloks. If you bastards don't send me something.
They'd probably just laugh and say, fine, do it.
Only the three times I've had Mega Bloks, all three times something was missing. So
I think I have. Isn't Mega Bloks, didn't they do the World of Warcraft stuff?
Yeah, they did.
Oh,
I found it. I was digging through the closet in the Nerd Room of Doom and found a couple of those that are still in their package.
Yeah,
they're from the original run.
Those may become
the Nerd Room of Doom. I love that.
Yeah,
those may end up being some rarity themselves because they're not doing those anymore. That's
yeah.
That's
no, they lost that license a while ago.
Yeah, they don't. I don't think it went that well. All right, excellent. Always good. Majorspoilers.com. Major Spoilers on Twitter. Steven, thanks for your time and your efforts. We'll see you soon.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You too, man.
You too.
Have a good turkey day. All right.
Okay.
That's it for the show, everyone. Mm. We've done one. Tomorrow we do another one tomorrow. And that one will involve, hopefully, Bill. He slept through last one.
Right.
Yeah.
Slept off his gin and tonic hangover.
Yeah. I think he had a little bit of the drinky drink the night before. Mm-hmm. Justin was on a flight. Mm-hmm. So that's why we didn't have him. But he'll be back tomorrow. So that'll be good. And I don't know what we'll talk about. I've had it up to my neck with post-election stuff.
Yeah,
so,
no, we can. I'm sure we can find something else to talk about.
Yeah, most likely, unless he's got some stick up his craw. And I always enjoy his take on politics, so it's fine if he does.
Sure. But
anyway, that'll be tomorrow. So come on back for that. In the meantime, support us at patreon.com/TMS. It's how the show survives. If we don't have that, I don't want nobody, baby. we can't survive, literally. So please help us out. This is streamed every day at alphageekradio.com and, of course, diamondclub.tv. Big thanks to both those fine fellows and those involved in making those services great. You can find us on the web at frogpants.com/TMS. Send us your emails at themorningstream@gmail.com. That's themorningstream@gmail.com. Leave us a voicemail, 801-471-0462. And on Twitter, find me at Scott Johnson, Brian at Coverville, and the show at Morning Stream. That will do it. Do you have music to play?
I do. Mm. I do. This is a request that is going out to Wesley. Is it Wesley? No, I'm sorry. It's not Wesley. It's going out to Mark.
Wesley.
My name is Mark. Mm. Star Griffin, on the rare occasion I am in the chat. My daughter turns 14 on the 18th of November. This past year, we've traveled through some dark and stormy waters, but I believe things are looking brighter. It's amazing to watch her as she obsesses over the latest hot YouTube star, then have that obsession focus on Firefly, Doctor Who, or Sherlock. Music has become her salvation when things get troubling, so I'm requesting a cover of or by one of her two favorite bands, Black Veil Brides or Panic at the Disco. Panic at the Disco, because you get the exclamation point in there.
Cool.
Well, I'm happy to play some Black Veil Brides for you and for your daughter, Mark. This one comes from their Rebels EP from 2011. It's a cover of the song by Billy Idol. It's Rebel Yell. Here's Black Veil Brides.
All right. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Come on back, please.
Part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Shut up, Wesley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not our Wesley. He's nice.
No, no.
Other one.